We are all the voices in David's head.
This is true. Hello, my name is David the Lurker.
Hello, I'm Instant Sonic, a part of David's memory.
I am Overlord, and for some reason one of David's voices has a British accent.
Hello, I am Sir Sir. For some reason his libido also has a British accent.
This is a very, podcast. Yes. A very classy mind.
That's true. And those are the voices in my head, and also joining me is Bartman. How are you doing, Bart?
I'm good. I'm actually the brother of Bartman, as my other brother has been dealing with Hurricane Harvey. But he's fine. Don't worry.
As long as you're okay. I know that...
You're flooding me with emotions.
Did you see? That was awful.
Flooding.
I shouldn't laugh.
Of course, emotions.
I'm...
Oh, no! He's allowed to do that. He lives in Texas.
Yep.
Oh, my lord.
Oh, Bart, you got water all over your windows. You're gonna dry that.
I don't know if that's water.
Well, either way, this is the third episode of the RetroCast. The all-new, all-different, exactly the same, shiny RetroCast. The official podcast of SonicRetro.org. Maybe SegaRetro.org. Definitely not Sega.com. But look, it's fine.
But look. Well,
look, it's fine.
It may be SegaBits.
They've got like 27 podcasts. They don't need one more. This is ours. I'm staking a claim. Sorry, Barry. This isn't your podcast. It's mine. All right. But yeah, you know, it's, look, there's been a lot going on in the world of Sonic the Hedgehog since the last time we did this. The last time was E3. We tried to get together for Comic-Con, but we got distracted by all the cosplay. All of it. That's what we were doing. We were looking at cosplay of people as Darth Vader and only Darth Vader. But now we're back. And we're talking about Sonic because I think something may have happened while we weren't looking. A little...
Darth Vader got boobs. That's pretty high. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm still looking at the cosplay.
Supposed to tab out. You're not supposed to let anyone know. Okay.
Damn.
Look. Yeah. But, yeah, August 15th, and then August 29th.
Oh, August 15th, I remember it well. Night Trap came out.
Yes.
And what a glorious release that was.
That was a weird PC port, I have to say, real talk.
We only played it on PS4. So.
The PC version, when it came out, didn't even support the keyboard.
What?
Yeah, it was just controller support.
Incredible.
Oh, God.
They've eventually added keyboard and mouse support, but you can mouse wheel through all the different codes and just mash on the trap button, and it works, trust me.
Wow.
That is so strange. Yeah, I haven't actually played the new version of Night Trap yet, because I know there's also that bonus secret scene of the crime. Whoa. Did you do that?
Yes, there is.
I haven't gotten there yet, because I let the kid die. First playthrough. Which is new for this version, actually. The kid originally did not die.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, the deleted scenes.
I remember being told that when we were playing it.
Yep.
Are you saying you didn't have the original Night Trap memorized in your...
I'm sorry, what?
Are you saying you did not have the original Night Trap memorized? Okay.
I have beaten it once, but I was using an emulator and save states.
So Night Trap came out on August 15th, and then right. Mario and Rabbids came out on August 29th, and it was all good.
That is true. That's
literally nothing else came out.
No. End of podcast.
Yeah. So how many copies?
Did you hear they're bringing the Wisps back?
Oh.
In the Rabbids game? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Like, the Wisps are coming back, man. To Sonic.
Rabbids.
I'm looking forward to.
For the third time in a row. So how many copies of Sonic Mania did everyone buy?
Three.
I got two.
Two.
Oh, man.
Technically, I didn't buy any.
Get out of here.
Mr. No DRM, DRM free man.
I got it gifted.
Oh, God.
Look, we can talk about DRM later, but I think we need
we'll come back to that.
You're very gifted, Overlord.
Technically, yes. I got it twice on PC because I got the collector's edition and I also bought it on Steam.
Yep, I got the collector's set for Steam as well. And then, of course, I got the Switch version, which I had recently bought at the time. And it's probably the best way to play the game that's not the PC version.
Yes.
I just played it.
Playing it on the go, on the tube, is the most amazing thing.
What's the go?
PSP Go.
Moving.
I thought it was a new console.
It's the version of the PSP, don't you know?
I will say the most brilliant thing is people have actually stopped me from playing actually on the tube because they've actually tapped me on the shoulder and saying, is that a Sonic game? Is that a new Sonic game? Is this new Sonic game?
Nice.
Oh, man.
That's pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah, it does have interest.
It was a new one for Barcade this time around, because obviously we had a few Switches there which were playing like two player matches.
Right. Well, you might want to explain what the Barcade is for those.
British people, booze and games. There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Really.
Specifically for retro.
Heavy emphasis on the
booze. Right. Yeah, the British retros, the retro Brits, they get together. You have
talk about green eyes.
You talk about green eyes. You played some games and you played me. Right. I guess we never really made it clear. Yeah, Sonic Mania. Look, you're listening to this. You have to know Sonic Mania came out on the 15th and the 29th, depending on your platform of choice. It's good. It's very good. Like, let's not bury that lead. It has good reviews. It has great reviews.
It has the highest rated new Sonic game for 15 years.
Like, damn, people who did not care. Yeah, people who did not care about Sonic actually started to care about Sonic for a brief period of time.
That's true. You,
and by brief, I mean it's just been between release date and now.
Yeah. Right, because if you look at social media, there are a lot of people who either, you know, like either they were Nintendo kids, didn't touch the Genesis, or they're younger, so they didn't grow up in the 16-bit era, which is crazy to think about, because nobody was born after 1989, right? And it's crazy to see people who either wrote off the entire series because of the memes, of the jokes, or they're like, it's old, and who cares? But then they see Mania, and they play it, and they're like, oh, wow. This is actually good. It's not just a good Sonic game. It is a good game overall. And the fact that so many people, not just reviewers, have said this fact, I think, is impressive considering what's happened with the Sonic franchise over those last 15 years. Some of it's been good, some of it's been bad. It's not like it's all been terrible. I know a lot of people say, oh man, Mania is the best thing since 2001 or 99
since
or 94.
SRB2.
Yeah, like
I can see that.
Since what?
Since SRP2, exactly. Because you know, I know a lot of people, a lot of Sonic fans may jump on you if you say, "Well, it's the best thing since '94," but that's not saying nothing good came past '94. It's just this Mania reaches a certain plateau that has been sorely missed in the Sonic franchise.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know,
it's definitely the most successful Western-developed Sonic game ever made.
Well, that's an illustrious canon. Shall we go over that list of hits? We've got Sonic Boom.
You got Sonic Spinball.
Spinball.
Sonic Rivals 1 and 2.
Now, you say that. I'm not sure that Mania reaches the level of Spinball. I'm sorry.
Oh, what about what about Sonic Chronicles? That was great.
That's BioWare.
The Dark
Stool.
Does
that mean the main B machine there counts as a Western-developed game?
Sure.
Right. And of course, the Traveler Tales pair of R and 3D Blast.
Right.
I mean, you can't, because R is, of course, the best game ever made, but. I guess there hasn't been a whole lot of just Western Sonic games, because even all the weird spin-offs have generally been done in Japan, haven't they?
Well, there's also, the Sonic Advance series was like the only thing, and Sonic Rush, that was close enough to having a new 2D Sonic game. But you had to.
Of course, that was all done by Dimps in Japan. So.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I legitimately enjoyed the three Sonic Advance games. I mean, the only problem
is
being,
a decent game.
Yeah.
Three and is a mostly decent game. I draw the line at two.
Honestly, I enjoyed all three of the Advance games. Yes, even number two, I did enjoy it. But
a big number two.
They're still, they're not the same.
No.
They are not the same.
Right, because the thing with the Advance games is that, yes, they are 2D, but it feels like they're trying to do what is happening at that moment in the 3D world and transitioning it over to 2D. So Advance 2 is much more like speed-based grinding. Like the game wants you to run and not stop, even though the special stages can only be found if you're exploring. But the game kind of fights you with that. Advance 3, there's the tag team element. Sure, Chaotix is the obvious go-to, but Sonic Heroes came out, and it's trying to do the same thing. You have the Rush games, which is more like, you could even say that's a predecessor to boosting, because the main goal in Rush, you want to go as fast as possible. And while those can be fun, those games succeed in various places. They're not all good. They're not all bad. But after Sonic Advance 1, they stop trying to be what the classic 2D formula is. They go off in their own direction.
Up until Mania came out, Sonic Advance 1, I would argue, was the closest game that we'd ever had to a Sonic 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no, I definitely agree there. It's because that game, you can slow down and hunt and explore, but then when you figure it out, yeah, you can definitely blast through it, which has always been one of the components of Sonic, even from the first game, even the slowest levels. After you played it a few times and you understood how the game works, you can dash through Labyrinth. I don't care what anyone said. You can be fast in that level. That level is good, but I'm not here to defend Sonic 1. I'm here to talk about Mania and how it's such a good game! It's so good!
I will say, the amount of love that has been put into the game is definitely incredibly visible. The amount of work that's been put into it, the amount of work that's even just been put into things. I mean, you were just talking about like how you can blast through the levels once you actually know them. Yeah. If you actually take a look at the Mania levels from a slow crawl, if you play them slowly, if you play them quickly, no matter what, especially with the added drop dash, just the amount of love that's gone into it to make it so it's all possible to do is just amazing.
Yeah, I remember that when back at the 25th anniversary party and the first time you run through the Studiopolis demo, I didn't use the drop dash. And when I finally got Mania, at first I wasn't using it, but I realized the deeper I got into the game, the more and more I started using it. And even now going back to an older Sonic game, I'm tempted to use it, even though I know it doesn't work.
I must admit, I've not been using drop dash all that much.
Really?
No.
I didn't use it at all.
Like, not really knowing that it's there.
I think it's one of those things, once you do start using it, you won't stop using it.
It's been convenient for me to be able to break open different monitors, and also just like, I just want to get through this wall, and I don't want to have to waste time, trying to come to a complete stop, and then hitting the button several times just to get enough speed. But I was using it like right around the Comic-Con demo, and I haven't had, it became intuitive for me to use, because one thing you'll notice when you try to watch like a lot of other news outlets out there try to play Sonic, they try to explore and they have a hard time going through, because I guess they're just not really used to how you maneuver through a Sonic game through momentum and stuff like that. But I was able to take advantage of going to higher platforms and also just get through levels very quickly just by using Sonic. And I feel like that's been a pretty good balance for the other characters, because, I always feel that Tails and Knuckles, with their different abilities, it makes them easier to use, but they're slower. Like, if you try to fly around with Tails and stuff like that, you'll notice that it doesn't let you go as fast as you could with Sonic if you could just make use of speed and elemental shields and stuff like that. And I just feel like the drop dash complements the gameplay very appropriately, just to work with the level design as well.
No, I definitely agree. Of most moves that seem to be added every single game, I mean, in Sonic 2, you obviously have the spin dash, in Sonic 3, you have the insta shield. In this, the drop dash makes a good addition.
Yeah, it meshes in with the established roster of Sonic the Hedgehog moves. It doesn't feel like it's from another game and it's being shoved in there. It's a natural extension, but at the same time, you can play through Mania from beginning to end and not use it at all and still have a grand old time. I think that's what I've always liked about Sonic's additional moves, is that for the most part, you don't really need them. Like, you can play through Sonic 3 and Knuckles, not use the Insta Shield pretty much the entire time. And not just die or be stuck. I know there's a couple places where you're forced to use the spin dash, like on certain I guess we should say, look, there are spoilers in this podcast, right? we've played Mania from beginning to end. I mean, we haven't really said too much, but we're going to get into specifics. So if you don't want to listen to it, turn it off, play the game. I don't know why you haven't played the game.
If you want a spoiler-free opinion about this, Neo has written a review for the game on the front page. You should definitely go read if you need a second opinion. I mean, you know, of course, you go to Sonic Retro, you probably already bought it, but just giving a warning regardless.
Right.
I think by this point, saying about spoilers is a little bit superfluous, because those that want to play it
out. Yeah, I know, it's been out for, well, not quite a month, but at the same time, if you're obsessed with Sonic, you played it the second it unlocked on a PS4, or the second it unlocked on Steam, so... I think
the thing that I love most about Mania is just how much they have combined ideas from other zones together. Even the little things, just the little tiny things. I mean, in Stardust Speedway, yes, you've obviously got the Marble Garden stuff, but you've even got things like, in Sonic CD, you don't have animal capsules, you've got flower capsules. So let's actually make use of those flower capsules as an in-level gimmick. I thought that was genius.
And the four games that are represented have different gameplay styles as well. Like, Sonic CD doesn't play quite the same as Sonic the Hedgehog 3, where they had a bigger emphasis on speed and presentation. Whereas in Sonic CD, since it was kind of developed around the time that Sonic 2 was being worked on, they hadn't quite got the idea of, like, you know, what makes a good Sonic level. And that's where I appreciate the fact that, despite that there are different games represented, the styles don't really clash with each other. And in some cases, you see different elements from different games melded together in the different levels too, because it's not just like there is Green Hill Zone, but it's not just Green Hill Zone. If you look carefully,
you've got elements of Emerald Hill in there, you've got elements of
Palm Tree Panic,
you've got elements of Palm Tree Panic, you've got elements of the Game Gear Sonic 1 in there,
right? The little underwater pools that
Sonic Mania is the biggest Game Gear sort of like reference fest that I think the series
is. It really is. I mean, I'm sorry. When Silver Sonic appeared, oh my god.
My immediate thought was, oh, what is Eggfan made of this? Typical call for Mania, actually a thing.
Oh man, I got excited, although I will say one thing I get confused about. Okay, you know Silver Sonic. You'd say you just hit him normally, he pops. Like an animal flies away, that's fine. If you spin dash into Silver Sonic to hit Metal Sonic, there's no animal. What happened?
Same thing that happened to those things in Hydro City, that's what happened.
Sonic, what did you do? No!
Some people have actually had a bit of difficulty with the Silver Sonic, because I know you mentioned spin dashing.
Right.
Some people did have difficulty actually knowing what to do there. I kind of got it instantly. Once I saw that Silver Sonic was actually spin dashing, I knew that I needed to.
I didn't get it instantly, but the thing is, I thought you had to hit him after he'd let go of the spin dash. I didn't know you could actually hit him while he was spin dashing and it would do it.
It took me a while to realize what you're supposed to do with that boss, because even when I was playing as Supersonic, it still took me a while to actually finish that boss properly, because I was being thrown off, like, how I'm supposed to deal with Silver Sonic.
Yeah, I know that the first time I just kept on hitting Silver and was wondering if something was supposed to happen. Then I started hitting him in the air. It might have been like the third or fourth time I played that boss where I realized, oh, you can just spin dash into him the moment he comes out of that door, and he'll almost always hit Metal Sonic at that point. So
if you do a single spin dash, a single rep, you are guaranteed to hit Metal Sonic.
Yeah, which makes the boss like 10 times easier once you figure that out.
But oh, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I love that whole boss fight. Just because, you know, it's the original Stardust Speedway, yes, it's cool that you're chasing after. You're in a race with Metal, but you're not fighting him. It's all just speed, like who can get to the finish line at the end. He can attack you, sort of. He's not actually going after you, though. He'll just put on one of his shields, or he'll dash ahead, or he'll be slow. In this, like, he's actively you, and then during that final phase, you are actively trying to hit him. And just the fact that you're actually hitting, I know in Generations you kind of do, but like at the time that was cool, but it's still essentially a race, and I know in Triple Trouble you fight him, but that boss fight is essentially like Silver / Mecha Sonic from the Genesis games. But I like the fact that it's a proper boss fight with multiple phases. It references the OVA with the machine that he's sitting in, because it looks like the same machine where you first come across Metal Sonic in that animation. Metal Sonic is sitting in a seat that looks like the seat that he sits in from Chaotix, which is super cool. And I also like the tubes that have Metal Sonic. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, because that means that it's not just the same Metal Sonic. Sonic defeated Metal Sonic from Sonic CD, and Eggman rebuilt him. Because then you can get really weird with continuity and say, oh man, Sonic Fighters happened, and they happened between CD and Mania, and Chaotix as well, and he just rebuilt it, and then Sonic destroyed it. And like, I just like that sense of history. Like, this happened, and Sonic has destroyed Metal Sonic at least twice, and Eggman is trying to perfect the way to have this robot defeat Sonic, and he's experimenting, and he's at this version, and it's an intense fight. It takes a while. I like it. Heck, I get excited about
that stuff.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I want to get back to the Game Gear references.
Saloon boss.
You've got the boss. Obviously, you've got the boys.
Oh, dude. The boys, aka those dudes. Right. Well, I mean, because Fang is definitely, I know, because Bean and Bark, yeah, they were in Fighters, but Fang, like, he is the Game Gear golden child. And I got super excited seeing him, even if he is merely an illusion by Heavy Magician. I mean, he's still there. It's saying this guy exists. Sonic has engaged with him at some degree in the past. And I'm going to mess with him.
There's another Game Gear reference in that fight that's a bit more subtle. The transformation sound effect.
Yep. Funny enough, all the sound effects that are used in those sort of style of boss actually are references of some sort. I mean, you've obviously got, with Silver Sonic, you've obviously got the Game Gear samples used in that fight. In the Illusion boss, obviously you've got the sound effects they used again for some of the Game Gear sound effects. And even Bean's throwing sprite is basically a reference to Tails Adventure as well, the way he's actually throwing those bombs. But also the Hardboiled Heavy, the Shinobi one, actually uses Shinobi sound effects as well,
which is pretty cool.
So it, this game is not just a love letter to every Sonic game. It's a love letter basically to a lot of other Mega Drive library games.
That's true. I mean, from day one, we saw that, you know, when they revealed Studiopolis, you have the references to Streets of Rage with the not background, the Hornet stuff from Daytona, USA, which I guess this is also referenced in Act 2 in the lottery.
Yeah, the Gallup
thing. Yeah.
Yep. Which is the Hornet brand that's one of the sponsors. Mm-hmm. I feel like because since it's supposed to be around maybe 96 to 97, like that era of mm-hmm. Sega is probably the era that they were wanting to aim for the most, because this would be, I think Whitehead said several times, like, this is what Sonic would be if this is Sonic running on a Sega Saturn, where 2D was king on that system and they just went nuts with whatever effects that they could get away with. Yeah. And that's going to be apparent with the different games that are referenced. I mean, obviously, like, Rage was out that before or then, stuff like that. But then, like you said, Daytona is a pretty specific stopping point, I'd say, for the Mania references to work with. Although, it took me a while to notice on the title screen before the emblem starts forming. Mm-hmm. That's like the... It's on a Model 1 Genesis, where the LED light is. Yep. Or not the LED light, but a light, you know. It took me a while to notice that's what that was referencing until, you know, careful observance when I actually started to own Mania.
Yeah. I mean, here we go. Here comes a very big spoiler. In Egg Reverie, the final boss, the true final boss. Sorry, here come big spoilers. Eggman's machine that he's in is a reference to the Sonic 3 final boss.
Big arms or the...
If you take a look at the actual design of the final boss there, it's basically the Sonic 3 final boss machine patched together.
Hmm.
Right, the big arms.
I played Egg Reverie once, so I've not really got a good mental picture of it yet.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense to me. It didn't click in my head, but yeah, because there's also a reference to the previous phase. If you're in Love Refact 2, I think it's more noticeable with Knuckles than with Sonic. But you see that tall thing that Eggman is in before you fight Big Arms in the background. So they're referencing Sonic 3 Bomb. Yeah, it looks bigger, I think, but it's the same design. It has the dome on the top. Like I think it's slightly different, but it definitely is evoking it. I think the best place to see it is when you're playing as Knuckles. You're near the end of the level where you're climbing up that one wall, and if you go down, it's just a bottomless pit. And I should mention, there are so few bottomless pits in this game, and I get excited about that because. So modern 2D would throw pit after pit after pit, and even the 3D games. And in a platformer, you need a pit. Like, bottomless pits are part of the equation, but it should be something that you stumble across not that often. Like, it's you're bad, you're like, you're a pie, and you're falling, and then finally you find this pit. You know, even in Mirage Saloon, there are moments where, oh, yeah, there's a bottomless pit, but you're able to save yourself. And I just, yeah.
Honestly, the most bottomless pits that I've seen in the game are in Knuckles' Mirage Saloon Act 1. But that's because you're constantly climbing in that game, so it's kind of expected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But in that spot in Love. And when you're climbing up the wall, that's the best place to see it. Unless I'm just misinterpreting it.
But I don't want to go again. Take a look, because I did not catch that.
But Lava Reef is just... I love Lava Reef. I love it all. Especially Act 2, in that background where you see the little planet.
Oh my god. Like,
that little planet...
When you get to that point in the background where you put in the sky... What are they going to put in the background instead of the Death Egg? Yeah. And you get there and you see a little bit of the sky, and then suddenly you see the little planet shining through, and you think, oh my god.
Yeah, that That might have been one of the coolest moments to me, was that reveal. Because it does what Sonic 4 wanted to do, which was seamlessly weave in Sonic's CD to the world, to the other Genesis games. You know, like, yes, you were in Stardust Speedway already and you fought Metal Sonic, but it was still like, you're in Press Garden, you warp to Stardust Speedway, then you're in Hydro City. Like, okay, you saw the little play. Like, seeing it in the background, seeing it rendered in that way, so lovingly detailed, it's like, yeah, this all does take place in the same world. CD, like, even though we've always considered CD, like, that's one of the big five, it's just nice to have it weaved into the tapestry that it is important to this overall story, and that Mania is continuing this tale of Sonic and Eggman, and yeah. And of course there is the Knuckles exclusive boss in Lava Reef, which is just Hidden Palace Zone. And
the Knuckles exclusive boss in Mirage Saloon, another 8-bit reference.
Yeah, that is true.
Which I was surprised to see that there.
So like, yeah, because I saw that, I was like, yay, Sonic Chaos.
Sorry, but we skipped over something very important when we're talking about Lava Reef, and that is Sonic's boss. I mean, come on. When you saw Sonic's boss for Lava Reef Act 2, I mean, come on. I got a little bit choked up at that.
Yeah, I.
That's a huge surprise for.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, I got choked up too, especially when I realized that it wasn't just, excuse me, a visual reference, but in the manual.
I like how two separate members of the development team came up with a reference for him independent of each other.
Yep. I mean, when I first saw that boss, I mean, obviously, I saw the Hubble Debbie running around on the motorbike, obviously, in the Green Hill cutscene. But when you actually get to that boss and you jump at the boss and then suddenly the motorbug jumps in the air in the same style, I was just thinking, hang on a second, let me see that again, is that exactly what it is? And then I found out about the manual, and it's just perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Should probably clarify, because maybe not everyone who's listening knows what we're talking about, but a few years back, if you pay attention to ROM hacks in any degree, you may have been aware of Motobug in Sonic 1, which is a particularly amusing ROM hack where you control Motobug and he jumps around. He's got some cool shades, and it was put together by Polygon Jim, who sadly passed away, I guess. Oh man, was that 2013? Was that
2013,
what it was?
Yeah,
which is 4 years. That's crazy to think about, just in that it's been 4 years since we lost him. And you know, he was a staple on the retro forums.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah. I mean, his legacy is there. He is the one and only eternal tech member, and yeah, it definitely hasn't been the same since he's been gone, but I would like to think that he would get the biggest kick out of everything that's happened, Mania, and especially this boss, where it's honoring him.
It's so awesome to see something that, you know, it's made, the game is made by people from our community. They can even still make nods to our community, and something that was officially pushed all the way up to the point of having an event dedicated to it at, you know, Comic-Con of last year.
Yeah. It might not hurt to list off some of the names. I mean, the big ones are obvious. Christian Whitehead, Simon Tomley, Taxman and Stealth, they've been around forever. Responsible for the mobile ports, but of 1 and 2, but they're the big names, but they're not the only names. Just
I don't know the visuals.
Oh, go on.
No, I was gonna also mention, like, just jump straight to the Vigoda West team. Basically the people who made a good chunk of the team that was responsible for Sonic 2 HD finally got to finish a Sonic game after so long. So long.
Like with the developer that didn't want to hold the engine to ransom.
Right. Oh, man. Like
artist Tom Fry and, of course, T-Lopes for doing a good chunk of the music. Probably all the music tracks.
It's mastering by Falk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, I got your Brad Flick. He's one of the one of the key level designers. I am blanking on some names.
No, I am too. There's one other Pagoda West person that I believe I missed on here.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm so sorry, lads. We're so sorry.
Yeah, look. Well, because, you know, you got Hunter. I was trying to, because I know he helped program, but he had another title. And why can't I think of his official title in the credits? I hate my life. Just go to Retro. Just pull up the credits list. Let's be stupid. Project Manager Hunter Bridges, who... lead designer Jared Castle, and then Brad Flick, Taryn Costello, Michael Baum as other designers, Tom Fry, Paul Veer, Kieran Gates, Medio, aka Lucas Carvalho. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I apologize.
We suck.
Of course, you know, Hunter helped with sound design, but so did Jameson Sutton, who is also definitely a member.
Who basically took over Hunter's responsibilities for sound design when Hunter kind of graduated to programming on the project.
Right.
Like, it's crazy just, like, how much the project grew. Because we only knew of that initial team back when at that Comic-Con reveal. And then it just kind of grew over time.
Right, yeah. Because we had the reveal where it was like, okay, there's Taxman and Stealth and some Pagoda West people. But we didn't know that,
It was revealed later for us, for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it was around Comic-Con, right? Or was it E3?
Probably around E3 that we got to hear about more people, like Brad, who were on it.
Yeah, right, because
we've also got Tyson Hess for the animations.
Oh, man.
With his team in Studio Yada that did the animation, which is not credited in the game for some reason, but...
I mean, you even got a reference on the sprites for that lava with Knuckles boss. There's something of his as well, right there.
That's true. It's a nod
in his mind. Perfect.
Yeah, because it's not just a reference to the events in Sonic 3 and Knuckles. It's also to the Sonic Mania, the Sonic Mega Drive comics, which might have been some of the best stuff that Archie released, even though it was at the tail end.
It's a reference to his own little mini comic that got him started on the whole
thing.
And that is true. I will thank you, Father.
Yeah, Tyson put down the complete list of credits for the animated sequence that I don't know how to pull it up immediately, but I mean, we know more about the game development stuff than animation, obviously, because that's what a lot of our community is kind of driven towards, but I mean, it's still an amazing intro and outro and all the other animated bits and pieces in between that.
Yeah. I suppose you gotta give a shout out to I can't remember her last name. It's Lola.
Lola, you know? Shirashi.
Yeah, because she's a producer, and she, I guess, you know, had to wrangle in all those people, which had to have been a thankless job, I'm sure, from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
The Wild Boys.
But the entire team behind Mania, because there's, right, so many people from the community who had worked on things and, you know, basically studied the classics, either from an art perspective, a programming perspective, a level design perspective, and took what made Sonic good, and kind of going, yeah, this stuff is not what makes Sonic good. And synthesizing together a game that definitely rivals Sonic 3 and Knuckles in terms of, could this be the best game? You know, there are times when I'm like, Mania is the best Sonic game. And other times I'm like, well, you know, Sonic 3 and Knuckles. But I think the fact that it can shift between the two at a whim, they're basically, in my mind, they're toe-to-toe to each other.
Inseparable.
Yeah, you can't have one without the other. Well, I mean, I guess you could have three Knuckles without Mania, but I wouldn't want three Knuckles without Mania now.
I will say, the thing that probably makes it feel that way the most is that there are remixed stages. I feel that if this team of people go on to do an entirely original set of zones, an entirely original serve game, then I think it could definitely reach that level of, well, this is now the best game, this is it. Everything is there for it. You've got, you have the talent, you've proven it with Mania. There are the original levels in Mania are some of the best in Mania. The gimmicks that are in there, I hate to use the term gimmicks that people tend to use, but in this case, the gimmicks used are absolutely wonderful. Even if it is remixed from there, the original ideas within that for characters, for the hard-boiled heavies, works really well. The original badniks work really well. The use of items from previous games to complement those original levels works really well. I mean, one of my favorite things about Press Garden Act 2 is, with the ice-based gameplay, is the iced-over items. The fact that you have springs made out of ice that disappear after one bounce just works so well for it. The spikes that disappear after one hit. It's a take on a small idea that just works really, really well. And I feel that a full original game with original, again, an original plot, it would be an original set of zones. Complete originality allowed would just work so well for this team.
Yeah, and I know people have expressed irritation that, you know, like, especially like, oh, it's just a fan game. I can't believe that they just hired fan game devs to just make another, a paid fan game. And if you think about it, if you, because obviously it's neat that there are old levels in here, but, you know, we've seen Green Hill more times than I can, more fingers than are on my hand. So, but at the same time, if this is, well, here's my thing. When it comes to, like, modern fan games, I feel like that, or at least fan games of the past 10 years, they are pretty damn close to mimicking the original Genesis games. And at that point, it kind of blurs in my mind, which can be a good thing, because I would say the quality of the level design and, you know, the overall gameplay is pretty much to the point where it could even, it may surpass those older games. And like Mark is saying, what could happen if this team could work on an original classic Sonic game where it was nothing but new levels, new enemy, new gimmick and everything? And I think that's a pretty good testament for the quality of Mania overall. That you've had years of experience just working on fan games and kind of trying to match the quality of those older Sonic games, that it's pretty much happened. Like, the impossible has happened when it comes to Sonic the Hedgehog. And, you know, I lost my train of thought there. But you get the idea. You get the idea, though, right? It's where basically the quality of the game's design is so good that it's still a good game in its own right. And even if you're disappointed, this could open the door to other possibilities in the future. And that's something I am equally excited about, even though I think Mania itself is a good game in its own right. And it's something that I'll probably be going back to for a good while now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, like you were saying, like, I know there are people who look down on the fact that, oh man, old levels. I feel like for Mania, it works. Like, when I was saying, like before with the lava, when you're in Lava Reef and you see the little planet, and just the way that this game kind of says, I like the way that it puts together what we know of Sonic's world and also introduces new places, which are on, you know, they're in similar locales, like Studiopolis and Mirage Saloon, or on West Side Island where Sonic 2 took place, but we didn't see them in Sonic 2, but they're there. So, and like Titanic Monarch. Well, no, they have to be, because you go from Chemical Plant to Studiopolis, from the Tube, and then Mirage Saloon, you're shot right into Oil Ocean Zone.
But this and then is Titanic. But is that just the Phantom Ruby screwing around with the end?
Well, I know.
I feel like that might be the case, because I feel like some of the transitions were not exactly clear as to where certain levels are.
Well,
and what island you're on.
I think because if we're doing the transitions, you start off, you fly to Angel Island Zone. They find the Phantom Ruby, the Egg Robos turn into the Hard-Boiled Heavies. You are warped from Angel Island to Green Hill Zone. At the end of Green Hill Zone, you are then warped to Chemical Plant. So you're warped to South Island, and then you're warped to West Side Island. You go through Chemical Plant, you go in the sewer, you pop out in Studiopolis, and you jump into the Flying Battery. The Flying Battery, I mean, you could be anywhere. You're doing that, you're flying around, you don't see how you end up in Press Garden. So you could be on West Side Island, you could be somewhere else. Like, that's the only level where I'm not exactly sure where it is, but then you are warped to the little planet. You're in Stardust Speedway. And then, presumably, you jump off the little planet onto Angel Island, because Angel Island must have risen back out of the ocean and has to have moved towards where Little Planet is and Never Lake because of what you see in the distance in Lava Reef. So you're on Hydro City. You're running through. You're actually going through that backwards, if you notice, because Act 1 has, you know, the Act 2 background from Sonic 3 and is an interpretation of the Act 2 boss. So you're going backwards. Then you see at the beginning of Mirage Saloon, you're on the tornado. So I guess the idea is that at the end of Hydro City, you jump on the tornado. You're pursuing Eggman. He's going back to West Side Island for whatever reason. You know, you're on the tornado, you crash, or if your knuckles, you fall off, you go through there, right? You're going through. You jump in the gun, you shoot off to Oil Ocean. Wait, what's the level after Oil Ocean?
Oil Ocean.
Metallic Madness, isn't it, straight after that?
Lava Reef.
Yeah.
There goes a Lava Reef there.
There's Lava Reef after Oil Ocean.
Right. So I guess the question is, look, somehow they get off West Island and go back to Angel Island.
This is the thing. It does kind of jump all over the place, which is what makes me think that the Ruby does just mess with reality, especially when you get to Egg Red Room.
Right. I mean, I think it's messing with reality to a certain degree, but I also think that saying Studiopolis and Mirage Saloon are on West Side Island isn't crazy because of what the transitions show.
No. That part isn't crazy simply because in some of them there isn't transitions to explain it. If after every single one you were warped with the Phantom Ruby, then maybe it'd be a case of, well, we don't have a bloody clue where any of this is.
Right.
But it's not that case.
Right. So I guess the stumble would be between Oil Ocean and Lava Reef. But maybe Eggman warped them again? I don't know. But it's definitely
I do think that's one of the things that... I don't know. It's not a letdown per se, but it's one thing that kind of annoyed me a little bit about Mania, was that you do have a couple of zones where there is no transition. You're just suddenly... And suddenly we're here.
Right. I would assume that it might have just come down to the deadline. Because if you're working on a game, you want to make sure that the game itself is fantastic. Those cutscenes.
This is why I'm saying it's more of an irksome thing rather than this is a game breaking, game ending thing. I'm never going to play it ever again.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I mean, I would have loved to, for instance, if Sonic and Tails had run up the chain, because we know the little planet's there. We know it's anchored to a chain because of that ending cutscene. I would have loved to see a little in-game cutscene of Sonic running up its chain that goes from Lava Reef to Metallic Madness.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, like Like, that would have been neat, but the fact it's not in there doesn't ruin the game. And I know for some people love to get super nitpicky because it's what we're used to when it comes to Sonic. But even if we nitpick something, doesn't mean that we hate it. I mean,
not at all. Especially in the case of Sonic Mania, we're nitpicking because we're thinking of just how brilliant it actually is.
Like, I mean, it's left up to you to interpret what exactly is happening. Like, you mentioned about, like, observing everything that's in level design. I wasn't really thinking about that too much when I was playing through, like, Lava Reef or paying too much attention to what's going on in the background. Because I saw the ending cutscene and I'm like, oh, somehow I'm on Little Planet now. I don't know why that happened, but okay. But then you mentioned, like, well, if you paid attention to the background, that's where you can notice things that can bridge that connection between one level to the other. So that's the part where it definitely becomes really exciting, is that you're interpreting the story based on what you're observing. And Sonic Mania is all about presentation, which is, again, that's it just rewards the player just for being observant, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, not that many games I can think of tell a story based on silence. Like, here's the thing. So, you know, characters don't talk. There's still storytelling going on, but there's no dialogue.
Well, there doesn't need to be.
There doesn't need to be at all.
And honestly, the most dialogue that isn't dialogue that is in this game is Knuckles' Thought Bubbles.
Yeah.
I mean, Knuckles is opening his mouth when he's yelling at the Emperor, or whatever his name is. I'm sure he's saying some choice words that kids don't want to hear.
Yeah.
So I think we're fine, but man, I feel like we could talk about Mania forever. And
yeah,
we really could.
I get the feeling that we are going to talk about it again. Like, this isn't going to be the only time we talk about this game on the podcast, right? Like,
right. But I think we should at least cover two more things before we get off of Mania, if we're going to do that, which is the chemical plant boss and blue spheres.
We haven't even talked about the special stages at all. Yeah.
No. Yeah, even the 3D special stages.
My god, those special stages are brilliant. Oh my god, they're brilliant. They're perfect.
Yeah, so...
They also epitomize what would be a Saturn Sonic game special stage.
Yeah.
I mean, the frame rate is probably smoother than what a Saturn could pull off, but I still think it looked... I highly appreciate the fact that it is low poly. What's that?
Well, I think it could pull it off at full frame rate. Right?
It probably could, but it's been a while since I've seen.
The one I'm thinking of for the rough equivalent is the half pipe stuff from 3D Blast.
That's true. Blast
3D Flicky's Island.
That does run pretty smoothly.
Same difference.
But people were very, very happy that it wasn't just going to be half pipe again.
Yes, that's true.
Oh my god, were people happy with that? People hated the half pipe.
Yeah, I mean,
really hated the
Sonic Mania has two different types of special stages, and neither of them are half pipe related.
Well, what's also appreciated, it's not just a repeat of, of just those old, like, it's not the Sonic 1 special stage, like in Sonic 4 Episode 1. It's not the weird half pipe stuff that's in Episode 2 or 3D Blast on Saturn. It's just its own thing where it looks like it's Sonic CD in 3D, but you're actually running through a set course, and you have to take into account the different hazards and obstacles that you can leapfrog off of, and the blue spheres that you collect to gain your speed. Some people have already found ways to gain speed without collecting the blue spheres, which is what increases your speed if you get enough of them. But people have been taking advantage of the momentum that you get when you bounce off of walls. And that's how you can get the UFO, which is holding the emerald that's running away from you, or flying away from you anyway. And that's that's just a testament to the different skill levels that Sonic can cater to without being too overwhelming.
I mean, there are still places on it where it does have its faults. I mean, the first time I played through Special Stage 5, and the second time, the third time, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth time.
Everybody bitches about Special Stage 5. I found 4 and 6 much harder.
4 I found quite easy. I mean, certain levels do hang you up because you get caught on trying to go around the course in a certain way, I feel. And as soon as you work out the correct way to do it, I guess you could say, or a better way to do it, then suddenly everything just clicks and it becomes easy.
I think Special Stage 5 really threw me off because one thing you have to keep in mind, even though it's basically the layout is flat like in Sonic CD, and there are walls, but you can't go over the walls like you can in Sonic CD. If they're Super Mario Kart style, basically, where if there's a wall, you can't hop over it. But you can hop over a ledge and then fall out, which means you get booted out of the special stage. And I think Special Stage 5 makes heavy use of walls, and it'll throw you off because there's like a specific fork in the fifth stage that... it's kind of hard to see the walls because the colors kind of blend together for me in there. But like that's really the only part that I was having an issue with, because the 6 and 7, like I can just hop over gaps and catch up to the UFO much quicker.
Do you mean the fork near the end where there's one path with some ring monitors and the other path where it's all blue stairs?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you go to where the rings are, you're wasting time. That's just a longer path.
You mean the blue spheres.
Oh, well, okay. I meant that.
Yeah, I'm better off getting rings than spheres.
But the other thing I think about that stage as well is because it has a lot of the ramps that actually boost you up into the air. Those don't just boost you up there. Those slow you down a lot.
Yes.
And just jumping in general does actually also slow you down. So, if you're jumping a lot in that level to try and get over the grassy areas, if you're trying to jump over areas to try and maybe catch up with the UFO, ultimately it does actually slow you down. I found that trying to stick on the ground and just run as much as possible, you'll actually catch up with the UFO a lot quicker.
Right.
The UFO.
The UFO, yeah.
The UFO. The UFO.
Oh, man.
And
then you've got get blue spheres.
Yep. The blue spheres are back. The one special stage that they brought back that's old, which...
You know what it actually felt like to me when I realized, when they actually announced that the blue spheres is now the bonus stage? It was very similar to me to the moment when you play, if you ever played the Zelda Oracle games on the Game Boy, where the mini-boss music on those games was actually the boss music of Link's Awakening. So it's basically saying, hey, this was a thing that was one of the harder things to do, but now it's actually just an average old thing and things are going to either be harder or much better.
I mean, the part that I thought of when I saw blue spheres in there is that, so this is what they salvaged from that Sonic 3 mobile port, and this is where they're just going to stick in a Mania, because it's basically...
Well, if they've gone to the effort of doing it.
I will say... When I saw Mania Mode as one of the extras for the blue spheres there, and I saw the pink spheres and the green spheres, I was like, oh, so that's what they did with that.
Yep. So if you go to like Stealth's website, he talks about the proof of concept stuff for the Sonic 3 mobile thing, and those blue sphere concepts that he was talking about made it into Mania, but they're in like an extra secret bonus mode that you get to if you collect all the medals, not the gold ones, but you can get either gold or silver depending on if you get all the rings or not.
I think that was also one thing that irked me, was you didn't get anything special for getting all gold medals.
Nope, just
a pat on the back. Yeah, exactly.
Good job.
Gold
you
could star. Have
you
gotten
did a thing.
Charmy. I will say I like the Mania mode of blue spheres, and I kind of wish those were part of the initially. I can understand why they didn't, because everyone's used to the old ones and it would be weird, and it's better to experiment in its own separate mode. But, you know, I would have been perfectly okay jumping into a circle of rings, like maybe even especially after you get all the medals. And
I can understand.
Green fears.
I feel like I interrupted you. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, thank God. But, well, like the one thing that I think is a legitimate issue with Blue Spheres is that, you know, obviously when you go, if you stay in the level long enough, the Blue Spheres sphere starts going faster. You start running faster. And that's where it can become very jarring, especially when you're playing this on a 40-inch plus television and you're just jerking left and right immediately, which is why you should buy it on Switch so you don't have to worry about that.
It's fine to worry about it.
it got a little dizzying, I will say, especially watching someone try to run through a marathon of them. It got very dizzying because I can't predict when they're going to turn. And when they're trying to turn to kind of look ahead, it gets it really gets disoriented.
I've played it a little bit, obviously, to try the Mania mode. Does it still have the full range available that Get Blue Spheres did in Sonic 1, Lock on Sonic and Mug? Does it still have the same range of level?
Like the for random generation?
Yeah,
it seems like it does, but the Mania mode doesn't have nearly as many variations as the Blue Spheres extra gets you.
Okay.
Yeah, so just to let people know, if you pick Blue Spheres from the extras menu, it gives you a randomly generated one, and there's like different sets of spheres that it will place in the level, and that's how it determines you getting a different stage every time.
It's just like back in the day.
Yep.
In 94, you lock on Sonic 1.
You can't repick them with codes and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is a downside, but you know, maybe it's just for when you lock Sonic Mania onto Sonic Mania 2. Sonic Mania 2, of course, being 100% half pipes, except for the bonus stage, which is just
the Gumball bonus stage, but it's actually three of them.
It's great. Yeah.
And I guess do we want to talk about the Puyo Mean Bean minigame that's kind of snuck in there?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to mention it, because that's also one of the unlockables in that extras menu, which is also the main boss of Chemical Plant Zone, which the first time I saw it, I'm not going to lie, I made a very excitable squeal and stood up out of my seat, because I absolutely love that reference, and you know, I mean, it's Puyo Puyo. How can you not love a little Puyo? Especially when in Chemical Plant, Eggman's AI is so bad that, look, you're going to beat it. You're going to win.
I had been playing Puyo Pop Tetris for weeks before I got Sonic Mania. That boss was utter piss as a result.
I will say, while we obviously all get the reference and think it's really, really cool, and it is really, really cool, because if you don't like it, then you're wrong. But it is, people have said, and it is true, it is a complete different gameplay style that just is very jarring just to appear out of nowhere. Just all of a sudden, suddenly you're playing a completely different game.
And I can understand that being an issue. And that's the problem I had with Puyo, and even after the patch, it seems like some of the logic for how Puyo works isn't quite right. Like, I've noticed that So you do certain chains. If you do enough chains, you'll build up enough garbage to send to the other player. And since this is based on Puyo 1/ Mean Bean Machine rules, you can't cancel that garbage. But if you build up so much garbage, sometimes it'll dump garbage. Like it'll dump a set amount of garbage in order to not overwhelm the other player and make it to the point where they can't fight back. But sometimes it dumps garbage twice, and I don't know why it does that. But there's other like weird issues too, like where if you build up pillars on the sides of the chamber, sometimes the garbage will get caught on your pillars and not get into your playfield, so you don't even have to worry about it. And other weird things that I kind of noticed like that. Like Overlord said, it's if you played Puyo Puyo Tetris, you're kind of used to how Puyo works at that point. But since it's based on those old rules, they're far stiffer. The controls are far stiffer than, you know, what modern Puyo does. And that's fine. That's deliberate. Like, I don't really have an issue with that. But it's just something I kind of noticed when playing this extra mode.
It's kind of like playing Puyo Puyo Tetris and then playing Game Boy Tetris.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, exactly.
Gotta go back. Play Mean Bean Machine. It's on every compilation made by Sega in the last 15 years. Give it a go. We'll be fine with Chemical Plant.
I was surprised to see some Japanese fans actually notice that, oh, wait, the reason why there's this Puyo section here is because this is based on that American version that we never got.
Yeah.
Like, they eventually got it through Mega Collection, but outside of that, they never properly got it on the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
I just like the idea that the whole point of Chemical Plant is to make these.
Yeah.
That is one of the better references.
Finally, the mystery is solved. What is actually for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd just say,
I'm pretty much done with the Puyo.
Okay.
Machine talk.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I know we've been going on a lot. I just want to say, just generally, you know, the bosses in this game are amazing because they're all varied. You know, it's not just the same thing over and over again. There's a lot. Different little quirks. I mean, the Puyo one is the one that, yes, you're switching control schemes, but everything else is like, you know, they have their own little things where you gotta think differently, but you can still, once you figure it out, you can wail on it. It's not like a modern boss where you may be able to hit it at the right time and then you gotta wait again forever. You can get into a rhythm. And the Oil Ocean boss for Act 2, best boss.
Everyone's favorite boss.
Should have been the final boss. It's the hardest in the game.
I've probably had the most trouble with that boss, but I still feel like that I was able to get through it fine. Like, I was kind of worried because when I first played the game, I got Supersonic around Press Garden, and that's where I started to really... I just used it and just kind of kept it up to the bosses, and I felt like, you know, I'm not knowing what these patterns are, and I'm going to feel bad for not actually playing these bosses fairly. And that's part of why I've played this game several times, to avoid getting those emeralds and stuff like that. Just to play the game as if, like, what someone would probably normally be playing Sonic, and not really going for all these different extras and bonuses to make the game easier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least in the PC version. I was just going to say, like, in the PC, and I think it may be patched into the console versions at some point, the transformations are attached to a separate button. So you can get all the emeralds early and just not be super. Because I think I prefer playing just as regular Sonic or Tails or Knuckles. Super is fun sometimes, but like, I want to get the Chaos Emeralds and not worry about accidentally transforming. So I like that extra button press that you need to do.
I think it's one of those things where when you first get Supersonic, it's like, yes, this is brilliant. I've got my reward for getting all these emeralds. I'm just going to blast through all the stages and now complete it. But once you've done that, you actually want to go back, explore, and see exactly what is going on.
Yeah.
Or get the bad ending.
Or get the bad ending.
Oh man, gonna love Eggman's sprites in the bad ending.
Yep.
He's just bouncing on that ground.
He's
like no
so
business.
Mad. He's so mad. Also, I'm surprised there's a Super Tails. I mean, I have Super Knuckles, I kind of expected, but Super Tails. Like, Tails has understood the power of the Chaos Emeralds that he doesn't need hyper.
I'm sorry, but it's not the true Super Tails. Where are the flickies? Where are the Super Flickies?
Oh.
Well, I mean, look, they went on vacation because I didn't know that we were going to find the Chaos Emeralds. They were
Sonic,
hanging out.
Good enough.
They were hanging out on
Flicky Island.
They were on Flicky Island. They jumped in those rings. They were having a tea party. I mean, I wrote them a letter and said, why? I was like, come on, guys. I need some help.
I was going to go with
Tails' power.
I was going to go with the idea that Tails mustered enough confidence in himself, but yours is way funnier.
Oh. Yeah, they're just visiting family on Flicky Island. Flicky Island is canon.
I was going to say he absorbed. I was going to say he absorbed the power of the Flickies, and it's very awkward.
Also, for that one person that said they weren't going to buy Mania if Amy wasn't in it. Well, Amy's in it. In a boss as a little robot thing. As three little robot things that chase after you and jump at you with nasty teeth.
Or just do
nasty pointy teeth.
The Amy doll completes the classic collection.
Or, you know, you could do what the rest of the retro community does and just mod the game. I mean, come on. What are you doing at Sonic Retro?
I mean, I know my Mania experience wasn't complete until Knuckles was running around a special stage where every single other possible 3D and 2D object were also Knuckles.
Let's not get on to Mania modding on this podcast. We should save that for another one because that's a whole different kettle of fish.
That is a whole other, whole topic for sure.
Because I think we've been talking about Mania for quite a while now. Because I know we want to keep these...
Slang tells me I think we should just keep this podcast to Mania.
Yeah.
Mania itself.
Yeah, because I know there was that we can get to that later. There was a little bit of comic news that because we missed the Comic-Con episode, so we'll get to all that later. And also, I think before we end, I just want to quickly mention the fact that... the Sonic Amateur Games Expo. I know that Neo wanted to be here and he wanted to remind people that it's coming up. We don't need to get into super detail, but look, if you do fan games or you do hacks or whatever, look, the Sonic Amateur Games Expo, it's there, it's cool. I can't remember now what the dates are, but I know that if you are interested in taking part of that, if you go to the front page of Retro, there's an article there. Basically, if you'd like your game featured, please send a 10-second clip of gameplay to sageentry@gmail.com by 11:59 p.m. Central Time on September 14th. And then the actual date, I forget, but it's after that. It's in September. It's at the end of September.
It's September 30th through October 7th.
There we go. That's the date. And then on the reverse side of the... If you are looking to be part of the Sonic Hacking Contest that has been delayed till... also have lost the date. Great research, David. Great research.
Let me pull up those dates for you, buddy.
Right, the primary submissions deadline for entries will be the end of Sunday, the 22nd of October. Mm-hmm. And the final deadline after this, because you always get a week if you've submitted something for your final build, will end on Sunday the 19th. And also this year, because we're not just doing the contest, we're doing an expo as well, which is less stringent on the rules. But again, it's not really trophy-based or anything like that. You have until Sunday the 12th of November to get your entries in. And the contest week itself, where you'll be able to play all of these hacks and be able to vote on the ones that you actually want to vote on for various different aspects, is the week of Monday the 20th to Sunday the 26th.
Okay. Right. So, because it was delayed because the original dates were right. Well,
it's going to conflict with Sonic Forces, which is coming out November 7th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go. Yeah. So, if you either you're working on fan games / hacks, or you're just interested in that, those are the dates. If you don't care about it, then you could ignore this. I would say fast forward, but you've already listened to it, and no one can be bothered to put time codes in the description. So, but other than that, like I said, look, this is all about Mania. I think we can all agree that we love and adore Mania.
Highly recommended.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
Thank you, announcer.
But yeah, and until next time, if you want to keep track of us, we are of course always sonicretro.org or at Sonic Retro on Twitter. We are on Facebook. Just look up Sonic Retro, and you can always check out SegaRetro.org for anything that is not about Sonic on a wiki. It's pretty. Go look at it.
And if you want the Sega news, SegaBits.com for our sister site.
Or if you want to yell at Neo for missing another episode, just go to Neo Reviews on YouTube. Say, you make good videos. Why aren't you on your podcast? We need more Neo in our life, because I think we all do.
I guess that wraps things up then, huh?
Miss you, baby.
Yeah, so this has been David the Lurker.
Bart Man.
Yeah, Sinister.
Everlord.
And I'm back to Texas.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.